the disciple, the follower of Jesus, has been placed into the fellowship of the body of Christ for the purposes of encouragement and stirring one another on to love and to good works.
You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Now, here's Pastor Dan Cox with today's message.
Is anyone here familiar with the term trigger alert? You heard that before, a trigger alert, what that is? Well, a trigger alert is when a person may be exposed to something. They're going to see something or hear something that may offend them in some way. It may produce some kind of psychological pain. And, you know, in an age of safe spaces, now we sometimes have to have trigger alerts as well, that you might hear something that could offend you. So I want to trigger alert you now. Some of you may not like parts of this message here today. And you say, which part? Which part? What might offend me or hurt me? Well, to that I will say, stay tuned. And I'll also add, if you need to form a search committee to search for a new pastor afterwards, I'll completely understand. But here comes your first hint. There is a story. There is a story about a member of a certain church who previously had been attending services regularly, but had stopped going. And after a few weeks, the pastor decided to visit him, and it was a chilly evening, and the pastor found the man at home, alone, sitting before a blazing fire. And guessing the reason for the pastor's visit, the man welcomed him and led him to a big chair near the fireplace and waited. And the pastor made himself comfortable, but said nothing. And in the grave silence, he contemplated the play of the flames around the burning logs. And after some minutes, the pastor took the fire tongs. He carefully picked up a brightly burning ember and placed it to one side of the hearth all alone. And then he sat back in his chair, still silent. And the host watched all this in quiet fascination. And as the one lone ember's flame diminished, there was a momentary glow, and then its fire was no more. And soon it was cold and dead. And not a word had been spoken since the initial greeting. And just before the pastor was ready to leave, he picked up the cold, dead ember and placed it back in the middle of the fire. And immediately it began to glow once more with the light and the warmth of the burning coals around it. And as the pastor reached the door to leave, his host said, "Thank you so much for your visit, and especially for the sermon. I shall be back in church next Sunday." Well, we have been called to make disciples, not just converts to the faith, but make disciples, men and women, young people who are growing in faith, who are being transformed and changed more and more into the image, the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've been looking in this series on one-to-one discipleship. We've seen the importance of Christ at the center of our lives, at our hearts, that we can have assurance of salvation. We can be secure in Him. We need to understand the attributes or the characteristics of God, the importance of the Bible and how God works through the Bible in our lives, prayer, that ongoing dialogue with God, and then also the Spirit-filled life, the importance of that for discipleship. But today, then, we want to take a look at the topic of fellowship. Fellowship, our text is in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. And there we will see that the disciple has been placed into the fellowship of the body of Christ for the purposes of encouragement and stirring one another on to love and good works. So he's put us here together for a reason. And one of those reasons is that we might encourage one another, keep that fire burning, that ember glowing, and stir one another on then to love and to good works, the good deeds that he has for us. So we will be looking at Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 19. But before we look there, a little context. First of all, the book of Hebrews was written to Jewish followers of Jesus Christ, in order to remind them of the superiority of Christ, how Christ and the new covenant in him was superior to the old covenant, superior to the law of Moses, the old covenant, superior to animal sacrifices, that he is the great high priest who is superior to merely human high priests, and the salvation that we have in him is superior in every way to the old covenant. It was a time of persecution for believers in the early days of the church, and here they're being encouraged then to hold fast, to persevere in their faith, and not to turn back to their former way of life in Judaism. You know, some of them, because of the persecution and other problems, other difficulties and challenges, were being tempted to fall back into their old life, to turn away from Christ. But the fact was is that they had a superior new life in Jesus, and they had full access to God's throne room, to God's holy place, through the living way, Jesus Christ. And they had also then been placed in the body of Christ, that is the fellowship of other believers, the church, where they had fellowship with one another. But it seems some were neglecting that fellowship with one another. Now, I know that was a problem back then, but we don't have that problem today, do we, of believers neglecting the assembling together, do we? That never happens today. So just in case it does, I wanted to preach this sermon today and go through this text here to remind us here what we ought to do just in case that problem ever comes up with the neglecting of the assembling together of ourselves then. So let's look at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 19. Where there the author tells us, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." So here we're encouraged and we're commanded with three commands here. The first one is to let us draw near to God. Let us draw near to God. That is that you and I, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have put your faith in him, in his perfect life, in his death, sacrifice for sin on the cross, his burial, his resurrection, if you have put your full trust and confidence in him for that, the scripture tells you and me then that we then have confidence that we can come boldly before God into the holy places by the blood of Jesus. Now, first of all, if we're going to draw near to God, part of it is, well, we need to be in right relationship with God. That is, we need to put our trust, our faith in Jesus if we haven't done that. But then if we have, we're still invited then to draw near to him, to come to him in the holy place. And the backdrop here, again, you recall the book of Hebrews was written primarily to Jewish background believers. When you spoke of the holy places and drawing near to God, what would one do to draw near to God and to be near the holy place? Well, that was going to a particular place, the temple. And there in the temple, there was the outer court, and then there was the inner court. There was then the holy place inside the temple. But then at the back of the temple, beyond the holy place, there was another room called the Most Holy Place, or the Holy of Holies. And in that place was where God was said to dwell with his people. But between that holy place and that most holy place, the Holy of Holies, which was a representation on earth of God's presence in heaven, the throne room of heaven, separating that most holy place from everything else was a thick curtain. And I don't mean the curtain like you have in your house, like for the windows there. I mean about a foot thick curtain, okay? And not just anybody could go into that most holy place. Only one person was authorized to do that. Who was that? The high priest. And that only one time a year. Only one time a year when that high priest could go in that, could access that most holy place. Only one time a year where he would represent the people before God. But then when Jesus was on the cross, when he died for our sins, and the Father accepted that, Gospel of Matthew tells us something interesting. Well, a lot of interesting things happened. But one of the interesting things that happened was, what happened to that curtain that separated the most holy place from everywhere else? It was ripped in two. It was torn from top to bottom, showing what? That what? The sacrifice of Jesus had been accepted. And now the way into the very presence of God, that most holy place, was now open to anyone and everyone through Christ. The curtain was ripped, was torn. Now then, as believers, we have confidence to enter that holy place, not the place in Jerusalem, but that holy place, the very throne room of God in heaven. We can enter confidently by the blood of Jesus, not because of anything we've done, any merit we have, but because of what Jesus has done by the shedding of his blood. He opened a new and living way through that curtain. And just as the curtain was torn, his flesh was torn for us then. And so now then, you and I can draw near to him. We can draw near in full assurance of faith. Do you know that God wants you, he wants me, not only to know that we can come, but to boldly come, to be confident that we can come. You know, sometimes, I don't know, if maybe it's just me, sometimes we might want to avoid God a little bit because maybe we've done something wrong, we don't want to admit it. We need to confess that, admit that, get that right with God. But he tells us, though, then, that we can then come boldly before him, come confidently before him, because we don't have a human high priest. We have a great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has opened up that way through his blood, through his flesh. So we can come confidently before him in full assurance of faith. And we can do so knowing that, again, through his blood that was shed for us, we can do so with a clear and clean conscience, that our hearts have been sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. You know, that was one of the blessings for us of the crucifixion of Jesus, is the forgiveness of sins, but also the cleansing of a guilty conscience, that we can come before him now boldly. So he says, then we can do this with hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. You know, in the old covenant era, before one would go in, one would go through this elaborate washing rituals, bathing tanks, where one would go and be cleansed then to come before. Symbolizing what? The cleansing that one must undergo to come before God, the cleansing from sin. Well, we don't need to step into a tub and receive that washing anymore. How do we receive that washing now? It's through the cleansing of Christ's blood, through the forgiveness. So we have been washed with his blood as well, washed with the pure water then. And because of this then, we're invited then to draw near to God. Come close to him. He wants you to come close to him. So let us then draw near to God. But then also a second command here then, let us hold fast. Let us hold fast to our hope. If you hold fast to something, what? You've got a hold of something, and you're never, ever going to let that go. You know, I have seen anybody here enjoy playing with dogs. Anybody like that, playing with them? And one of the things, sometimes you get like a rope or a little toy or something like that, and you're playing with that dog, and they get a hold of it, right? And you're just, man, you can get a real workout from that, can't you? You know, with trying to fight with that dog to get that toy or that thing away from that dog. And they are just holding fast. They refuse to let go. Those teeth are in that, and they will not let go no matter what. Some of you know what I'm talking about, don't you? That dog is holding fast to that toy. Well, you know, we are told then in that same way to hold fast, to grab on, to put our teeth fully into that hope. And not to let go. Hold fast to our hope. What is our hope that he speaks of here? Well, as believers in Jesus, to say that we have hope. What's our hope? Well, first of all, it's what? It's full pardon for our sins. Full and complete pardon of our sins. God is never going to hold our sins against us again. They would say, well, wait a minute. I thought if we sin, there may still be consequences of our sin. And yes, there may be consequences in this life of our sin, right? But when we receive full pardon in terms of our eternal relationship with God, it's full and complete. We are forgiven for all sins forever and ever. Full pardon of all of our sins. But then also new life, eternal life. Not just existing forever, it's eternal life, blessing in God's presence, full pardon, new life, eternal life. But then also the resurrection of the body, you know, that we have been made. We're not just spirits, we are also bodies. We are not only material beings, we are also spiritual beings. We are both spirit and material. And God has redeemed not only our spirits or our souls, he is also redeeming the body. And he is going to make our bodies new. Anybody looking forward to having your body made new? Yeah, absolutely. So the resurrection of the body, the glorification of the body. And then finally, then the restoration of all things. That God isn't just saving people, but he's going to make all things new. A new heaven and a new earth. So this is the Christian's hope. And we're told to hold fast. Sink your teeth into that. Don't let anyone or anything take it away from you. That hope of full pardon, eternal life, the resurrection of the body, the restoration and making new of all things. That's our hope. Hold fast to our hope. Do not waver from that. It is, be determined to stand firm in the faith. You know, there's an element of choice here, isn't this? It's like we choose to believe in Christ. We choose to hold on as well. We choose to stand firm and not to waver in our faith. And then we are told then that we can have confidence. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. We can do this, why? Because we're confident in ourselves and our own abilities, our own choices and decisions? No. We can do this because, as the scripture tells us right there, for he who promised is faithful. For he who promised is faithful. God is going to complete your redemption and mine. So we can hold fast. Sink your teeth into that. Don't let it go, this confession of our hope. Why? Because he who promised is faithful. Ultimately, this depends on God and God's faithfulness. Now, he calls you and me to believe. He calls you and me to persevere. But ultimately, though, the only reason any of us believe and persevere is because God is faithful. We are to hold on to him, but remember, He's holding on to us, isn't he? And so that's why we can have confidence. This is why we can persevere, is because he is faithful to do all that he has promised. He is holding on to us. He who promised is faithful. So let us draw near to God. Let us also then hold fast to our hope. Now you recall when I said at the beginning I had to issue a trigger alert that somebody might get offended by today's message. Well, there's nothing offensive in any of that, is there? Well, that's not the offensive part. Trigger alert, here comes the offensive part. See, here's the other thing. Let us draw near to God. Let us hold fast to our hope. But also then, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Well, what's the offensive part? Well, what does he say there? Says, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some. We need to be together. And yes, that means in church on Sunday mornings. Now, we can fellowship at other times. We can be together at other times in other places, right? But I think what he has in mind here, it's the assembling together, the regular assembling together, what we would call our Sunday morning service today. But some of us are in the habit of neglecting that. Now, I realize there's a little thing here. As I say this, probably the trigger warning doesn't need to go to you because you're here. The people who need to hear this aren't here, right? So that's why I feel a little better about what I'm about to say, because I know the ones who need to hear it probably aren't hearing it anyway right now, okay? But before I get to that, it says first, let us consider how to do this, how to stir one another up to love and good deeds. Consider, that implies what? Thinking about it, good old-fashioned thought. Give some careful thought. How can you encourage one another? How can you stir them up? To stir it up, the idea is like being provoked. How can you provoke? Some of us know very well how to provoke others, don't we? Some of us know very well how to push certain buttons. Well, this is the good side of that. Know how to push the good buttons. Think about how can you push the good button to provoke or to motivate someone. What? Motivate, not provoke them to irritation, but what? Provoke them to love. Spark them on to love and good deeds. Think about that. Think about people in your life. Think about maybe there's someone in your family. It's a husband or a wife, another relative, or someone, maybe someone sitting right next to you here. How can you provoke them to love? How can you push the button to love and good deeds in their life? Trigger alert. Some were neglecting the assembling together, as is the habit of some. See, we can't do this. We can't provoke one another to love and good deeds if we're not together, can we? We have to be together. And especially all the more as you see the day draws near. What is the day? The day is the return of Jesus, the culmination of all things in him. But for whatever reason, some were allowing other things to keep them from the assembling together. This is what, don't do that. Especially as you see the day, we need to live in light of Christ's sure and certain return. See, I'm afraid, folks, that today, here we go, there are going to be so many things that can distract us from coming together, from the regular assembling together. And one of them is, all right, I'm going to say it, this has been bugging me for a long time. Here it is. Trigger alert. These children's sports leagues are out of control.
Amen.
They drive me nuts. Too many of us, now I know, there he goes. Oh, you're not a parent, you don't have kids. All right, I'm not, but here goes. Parents, what are you saying to your kids when their sports leagues on Sunday mornings now even are more important than coming together in the church?
Yes.
drives me crazy. You know, there was a time when schools respected not only Sunday morning, Wednesday night. They're not doing that now. And if that means your kid can't be a part of it because they have to be there all the time on Sunday morning, maybe there's a choice that needs to get made then. It happens far too often, folks. I know that there's occasions, there are special events, other things going on. But again, parent, ask yourself, what message are you sending your kids when you choose the sports league over church? Does anybody want to start forming that pastor search committee now? Okay. Enough. There are also then some who think they don't need the assembling together. Oh, well, you know, I have my Christian friends, or I listen to messages on the, you know, sermons on the radio or whatever. And they're a lot better than yours, by the way, Pastor, the stuff on the radio, right? So I don't need that. I don't need to come together. Let me read this little blog entry from a man named Matt Walsh. This was May 29th of this year that I think speaks to this. Here's a little food for thought, okay? It says, many Christians claim that going to church doesn't matter. But if it doesn't matter, then why does a decline in church attendance in a country always indicate a decline in faith? Why is there not a single example of a country where church attendance is low, but the faith is strong? Indeed, why? We need one another. And we can't neglect the assembling together of ourselves for other things. Let us not neglect the assembling together, but let us consider how to stir, how to provoke one another to love and to good deeds. And we can't do that if we're not together. I want us to just quickly consider some other one another's of Scripture. You know, there are a number of commands in Scripture, a number of things in Scripture that tell us that we are to do or that relate to how we relate to one another as believers in Jesus Christ. Some of these one another's of Scripture are this, that we are members of one another. That is, we have a stake in one another. We are a family. We are a spiritual family. Brothers and sisters in Christ, belonging together in this one body of Christ. That we are to be devoted to one another. That is, there's cherishing a mutual love and esteem for one another. That we are to honor one another, to show respect and deference to one another. That we are to be of the same mind with one another. Now, we say be of the same mind, that doesn't mean we're all going to agree about everything, does it? But it means in spite of sometimes our differences of opinion, we still maintain the unity of the Spirit. Honor one another. Be of the same mind with one another. And then, yes, admonish one another. Sometimes we need to correct one another. Got a little bit of that today here, didn't we? Just a moment ago, admonishing. Of course, the ones who need it aren't here for it. But you can pass the word along, okay? Admonish one another. Submit to one another. Serve one another. To bear with one another. How many of you need to bear with one another? I do. We all do. How many of you feel like, man, you really need to bear with me, right? How many of you feel that? Especially after today's message, right? Bear with one another. To encourage one another. But then finally, then, to kind of summarize it all up, I can summarize all this in one word. What's that one word?
Love.
Love. Love one another. What did Jesus say? As I have loved you, so you are to love one another. It's a pretty high standard, isn't it? The love of Jesus for us is how we ought to love one another. And that's why we need to consider how to stir one another on to that kind of love and good deeds. So what? Well, remind us where we started, that the disciple, the follower of Jesus, has been placed into the fellowship of the body of Christ for the purposes of encouragement and stirring one another on to love and to good works. So I want to conclude with just this pithy little statement right here. What do you want me to do with this? I want you to do this. Stir and be stirred. Stir and be stirred. Stir one another, provoke one another, think about how to encourage others, and then let others do the same for you. And in order for others to do, in order to stir and be stirred, you have to be here, right? Make a commitment. You know, there was a time regular church attendance meant basically every Sunday, pretty much, except for vacations or when you were sick or some kind of thing like that, out of town for something. Did you know that today regular church attendance is considered 50%? That's considered regular now. And I feel like, you know what, I'm thankful for that when we get that. There's a way to stir and be stirred. Be here. Don't let anything come before your commitments to Christ, including the church, church worship services. Stir and be stirred. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for the assurance that we have in your word that Jesus Christ has opened up a new and living way through his blood, through his flesh. Thank you that curtain has been torn forever and that we are invited to come boldly before your presence. Lord, let us draw near to you. Let us hold fast to that sure and certain hope that we have in Jesus. And then, Lord, teach us how to stir one another on to love and good deeds. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information about Wonder Lake Bible Church, visit wlbiblechurch.org.